The Wisconsin Elections Commission will be looking into how almost 200 ballots from the city of Madison went uncounted in November's election. It's Friday, January 3rd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Marshfield Clinic has merged with the largest rural health system, and the University of Wisconsin men's and women's hockey teams will be playing at Wrigley Field this weekend. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Elsa Chang from NPR News. I'm proud to work with stations around the country, including Wisconsin Public Radio, to bring you news you can trust. Every day, we do our best to uncover the backstory and ask tough questions, to give voice to the diversity of our nation and share moments of beauty and joy. This comprehensive reporting is possible thanks to listener contributions. Be a part of this important work with your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org.
Nearly 200 ballots from the city of Madison went uncounted in November's election, and a state oversight board now wants to know how that was allowed to happen. As Sarah Lear reports, the Wisconsin Elections Commission voted yesterday to authorize an investigation.
Last week, Madison officials announced that 193 absentee ballots were never processed. Those votes would not have changed the outcome of any race or referendum, but City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel-Bell has apologized for the error and promised to prevent it in the future. Although staff with the clerk's office learned of some uncounted ballots on November 12th, the clerk didn't notify the mayor's office or the Wisconsin Elections Commission until late December. Don Millis is a Republican member of the State Elections Commission.
My biggest concern here is why it took a month and a half for this to come out. And that's very, very disturbing.
Madison's clerk has promised to cooperate with the investigation. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Marshfield Clinic Health System is now part of South Dakota-based Sanford Health. The health systems announced the completed merger yesterday. Marshfield Clinic will become a region of Sanford Health and will continue to use the Marshfield brand. That's according to a press release. Lois T. Strake is the mayor of City of Marshfield. She supports the merger with Sanford and says it will ensure that Marshfield Clinic continues to operate.
We're going to keep what we have, but they're just going to help us to, again, make it better.
Marshfield Clinic previously tried to merge with Essentia Health before that partnership fell through last year. The Central Wisconsin Health System furloughed 360 employees last January. The system also expanded some service at its health center in Eau Claire last spring in response to local demand. Wisconsin lawmakers plan to reintroduce proposals to tackle PFAS after bills failed in the last legislative session. Last year, State Senator Brad Paff introduced a bill that would ban products containing PFAS starting in 2028. The Onalaska Democrat says he plans to bring the bill back again this year.
I'm going to continue to work, obviously, with my colleagues on making sure that we can have the human health protections in place for consumers and landowners and residents of this state.
The bill would ban PFAS in food packaging and cosmetics. It's similar to a law that just took effect in Minnesota. Paff says he also thinks that Democrats and Republicans can work together on a bill to address PFAS contamination. Governor Tony Evers vetoed a Republican bill last year over fears it would let polluters off the hook. Evers and Republicans have been at odds over how to spend $125 million set aside under the budget to address the chemicals. The University of Wisconsin men's and women's hockey teams have the unique opportunity to play at Wrigley Field in Chicago tomorrow. Evan Casey has more on the Frozen Confines series.
0-1 Lindmark is a center on the men's team. He grew up going to Chicago Cubs games at Wrigley Field. Now, he'll have the chance to play hockey in front of his friends and family at the historic ballpark, which is over 100 years old.
It's going to be a very, very cool environment, very cool and special place to play, and we're going to be ready to go.
The hockey rink will be constructed on the baseball field. This isn't the first hockey game played at Wrigley Field, but it will be the first time college hockey teams play there. Kelly Gorbatenko is a forward on the women's team.
It being outdoor, like that's, you know, what the kind of hockey I grew up playing, you know, playing on the outdoor rink, and that's when I've always had the most fun.
The men's team will take on Michigan State, while the women's team is playing Ohio State. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, if you feel like you're kind of walking around like a penguin all winter long because you don't want to slip and fall on the ice, don't worry. I do the same thing. I've always done it. I hate slipping and falling, especially this time of year. Well, one Milwaukee woman had a bad slip and fall during a Wisconsin winter, and in today's Wisconsin Life, we'll hear about her recovery. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, host of Beta. Beta is pioneering.
Whether or not you consume a piece of art doesn't make you a good or bad person. You're going to have to find some other way to accomplish that.
And provocative.
I get to play all those things in Better Call Saul. I'm extremely lucky.
And always playful.
The fact that you know the footnotes to the footnotes to the footnotes.
Saturdays at 11 and Sundays at 10 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's Lee Rayburn with a story about maneuvering through life following winter injuries.
Winter slips and falls are dangerous and can be debilitating. While Milwaukee's Shauna Singh Baldwin was recovering from her slip and fall, she discovered a Wisconsin community of support, ingenuity, and understanding.
From my high-rise window on a bright sunny day last January, I saw Wisconsinites pitching tents and ice fishing on Lake Michigan, and motorcyclists zooming in circles on the ice. I gave in to my urge to walk by the glacial blue eye on a plowed and salted walkway. It didn't look icy until my nose was 5 inches away from the thin veneer of ice. The fall fractured my left radius, and I'm left-handed. I got a brace and sling. A week later, friends drove me to the very competent doctor who applied a hot pink cast. 6 weeks, the doctor assured me, would go fast. Maybe for him. "This is Wisconsin," said my friends. "Don't we all know people who have slipped and broken knees, hips, or ankles? It could have been worse." They patiently ferried me to doctor's appointments, the grocery store, the gym. Eastside Senior Services volunteers also provided rides. A friend cooked Indian comfort food and stocked my freezer. I requested help when folding clothes or changing sheets. I couldn't hand wash, so I used paper plates and dishwasher-safe dishes. Some activities, like doing my makeup, were difficult single-handed, but doable. Others were just not. I left some buttons unsewn and hoped to resume playing my guitar and piano soon. I marveled at the ingenuity of strangers who, with amazing forethought, had created assistive devices to make my life easier. Electric jar openers, front-opening bras. The Americans with Disabilities Act had prompted improvements I now depended on. Automatic doors, staircase railings. The doc said I could drive, if I wasn't taking painkillers. Soon I had a strap with a handle, enabling me to pull the car door closed. My father-in-law's Irish shillelagh would help me snag the seatbelt. They worked. I could drive. I shared my experience with Baljinder Singh, a sophomore studying biomedical engineering at UW-Madison. He said designing assistive devices requires him to know physics, modern materials, computer science, the science of movement, and have empathy. For $150, his team recently modified a walker to obtain data from pressure sensors below its feet to show physiotherapists if their patients are improving. Humans, he feels, will always be better than AI at creating assistive devices for our bodies. I'm relying on Baljinder and his fellow students to invent devices for me and fellow singletons as we age. Meanwhile, maybe I can now write convincingly about a character who slips on ice, breaks her arm, wears a pink cast for 6 weeks, but still drives thanks to assistive devices invented by biomedical engineers.
Shauna Singh Baldwin is an Indo-Canadian-American novelist, playwright, and poet who lives in Milwaukee. She's also a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association Board. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Lee Rayburn.
And that'll do it for this Friday. Real quick check of weather before we let you go for the day. It's going to be mostly cloudy and windy today, with high temperatures just reaching into the teens and 20s. Far northern parts of Wisconsin, think about Iron County, under a winter weather advisory until 6 a.m. tomorrow, could see 3 to 6 inches of snow in those areas. Thanks for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Have a great weekend. Maybe use the time to leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast app, or send us your feedback via email. Just send us an email at newscasts@wpr.org. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.